When I was little, and this is one of those famous family stories that I'm tired of hearing from my parents, when I was little, my family went on vacation with another family. The first day, when we came down to breakfast, there was bacon. And the other kid, who was about my age, I looked at him with like, oh my gosh, there's bacon excitement. And he turned to me and said very proudly, "I'm a vegetarian." And I looked back at him and I said, "Well, I'm a Unitarian." Fast forward many years. After I graduated from college, I moved to Washington, D.C. to work for the Unitarian Universalist Association's Washington Office for Advocacy, which was an office that existed at the time to work on public policy from a UU perspective. And I didn't know anyone in D.C. when I moved there, but that was okay because it was full of people like me. It was full of young, idealistic, 22-year-old white liberals who were going to change the world. And it's actually a little bit alarming how much our country is run by 22-year-olds. But anyway, so I was meeting a lot of people, which was great. And it was also annoying because when you're meeting a lot of people, especially in a sort of very professional environment like Washington, D.C., what do you think is the first question that people ask you when you meet them? You can answer.
What do you do?
What do you do? So what do you do? So what do you do? Well, I work for the Unitarian Universalist Association. What's that? And so I found myself at parties and happy hours trying to explain Unitarian Universalist theology. So my point is that while I have been, technically I have been Unitarian Universalist for about as long as I can remember, it has never been easy for me to exactly understand what that means or to explain it to other people, especially in casual conversation. And I'm guessing that many of you have been in the same boat. The privilege or burden of belonging to a small, liberal religion with no creed and a weird name is that you have to explain it to people. You get to explain it to people. And that really is a blessing and a burden, I think. So in the spirit of the belonging to this religion and having answered the question, you know what, many times, I offer this to you today and jump into our history and maybe some ways to go about answering that question. I hope it's helpful. So you could start with the name, but I actually don't recommend it. I don't think that Unitarian and Universalist are necessarily the most important things about us or the most descriptive of who we are today. Especially Unitarian. It is true that most people in Unitarian Universalist churches don't connect with the idea of the Trinity. There are a few. There's always a few who believe many different things. But I don't think that rejection of the Trinity is the most important thing about us. So I think it's a little misleading that it's like we lead with that Unitarian. There have been non-Trinitarians throughout Christian history, and we actually aren't the only ones today. Did you know that Christian Scientists and Jehovah's Witnesses are also non-Trinitarians? And I also discovered yesterday that even the Mormon Church believes that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three separate persons, although with one will. And this quickly gets complicated, and you see why I don't recommend this at parties. Because you start talking about the Trinity, and pretty soon it's boring. I don't mean to make light of how serious non-Trinitarianism has been throughout history, and it is an important part of our history. I'll get to some of that a little bit later. Universalist as a name, if you're starting with the name, I think is a little bit easier, connects more closely with who we are today, but I don't generally base our explanations of who we are on the name. When people ask me what a Unitarian Universalist is, I often say on airplanes or at parties, we're a liberal religious denomination. And sometimes that's all they want to know. If they want to know a little bit more, sometimes I do find it helpful to talk about where we came from as a frame of reference. And I sometimes say, well, we came out of liberal Protestant Christianity in the United States. Growing up, UU, I sort of had this vague idea that at some point in US history, some people decided the doctrine of the Trinity was weird, so they got together to make up their own church. And the reality is a little bit more complicated and a little bit more connected with institutional Christianity. And I'm shocked that I didn't know this until I went to seminary. But on our Unitarian side, we are descended from the Puritans. I feel like I don't have that much in common with Puritans, but turns out we have more than we think. Some of the oldest Unitarian Universalist churches today actually go back to the 1620s and 30s. In Massachusetts, of course. Over the years, those churches became called Congregationalist. Theologically, they started out very Protestant, Reformed, Calvinist. For those of you who've heard of John Calvin, it's a different sermon. But, you know, they were very into talking about sin, original sin, predestination. Only some, a very small amount of elect people would go to heaven. Gradually, of course, theological diversity developed, not to the extent that we have it today, of course. We're still Puritan and Congregationalist. But in the early 1800s, a fight really broke out over that theological diversity in New England Congregationalism. And it was about a lot of things. It was about the nature of God. It was about the nature of humanity. It was about sin. It was about salvation. It was about the appointment of a particular person to the faculty of Harvard. And it was about the doctrine of the Trinity. And the conservatives and the liberals fought for years, we're sort of early 1800s, about who got to keep the church buildings and who got to keep the church communion silver and who got to keep the church name. In Dedham, Massachusetts, the liberals got to keep those things, and they are now First Church and Parish in Dedham, Unitarian Universalist. The conservatives founded their own church across the street. And the story goes, I don't know if it's true, that the door of that church, they built it so the door faced the other way. So even though they're both on the town commons, they wouldn't have to look at each other. Sometimes our most bitter fights are with our closest theological neighbors. By the way, they are now Allen Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, and last I heard, they were getting along very well with their UU neighbors, so it's a happy ending. But my point is that at least in terms of the institution of the church, it would be somewhat accurate to think of us, or at least to think of Unitarians, as schismatic Congregationalists, like Congregationalists, a branch of Congregationalism. A branch of Puritanism. Who knew? Universalists, of course, were also very Christian, as we hear in our reading, also very Protestant. They believe, you know, very into reading the scripture, the importance of the individual understanding and reading it for themselves, that the Bible is the only authority. And through their close reading of the Bible, they came to believe that Christ had or would save everyone. And now, just as there have always been non-Trinitarians, there have always been Universalists throughout Christian history, although they were often considered heretics, and some of them got burned. Really? In this country, Universalists came out of a variety of denominations. It was something that sort of bubbled up more spontaneously in a lot of places, although a lot of them, it turns out, like Hosea Ballou, started out as Baptists, which I didn't know. The Convention of Universal Baptists was founded by a guy named Winchester in 1781. And the Universalist Church in America came along about a decade later, and one of their professions of faith was that God will finally restore the whole family of mankind to holiness and happiness. They believed that God wouldn't condemn anyone to hell, that in Hosea Ballou's metaphor, all of us will eventually be assimilated with the fountain from whence we sprang. And then a lot of things happen over many years, and Unitarian Universalism was born in 1961 out of the consolidation of two liberal Christian denominations, Unitarianism and Universalism. So we come out of liberal Protestant Christianity in the United States. And knowing those roots, for me, it was sort of a revelation in understanding, helped me see who we are more clearly, especially in the form of congregational life. The Puritans brought with them the idea of congregationalism, which is that each congregation governs itself. They actually didn't disagree theologically that much with folks in England, but they disagreed in terms of how we should organize our churches. They were against the hierarchy, they were against bishops. They thought the only authority is in the gathered community and in the Bible. And while churches, individual congregations, could and should relate to one another and have relationship and hold one another accountable, the main authority was in the gathered community. And they believed this was the most biblical way to organize their communities. And even though a lot of things have changed in Puritan time, since Puritan times, we still follow in that congregational tradition today. I think we're the best congregationalists. Each congregation governs itself. While we are in relationship and common purpose with other Unitarian Universalist congregations, there isn't an external structure that can force congregations to hold worship in a particular way, or tell congregations what to believe, or what minister to hire, or who can become a member. There are external structures, and there are some ways in which they influence our congregational life, but in those crucial ways, we're independent. And so helping understand ourselves as coming out of liberal Reformed Protestantism can sometimes help new people, or people you talk to at parties, to get a frame of reference for congregational life and worship. Sometimes when people are super puzzled about what, they just can't even imagine, like, what does that even look like? What does a liberal religion even look like? I say, well, you know, in form at least, we're very similar to the Congregationalists or the Presbyterians. And those similarities are often, I would say, most apparent to people who come into Unitarian Universalism from outside that tradition, so from Judaism and Islam. It's very apparent how Protestant we still are. We meet on Sunday mornings. We sing hymns in our vernacular language. A sermon is a central part of the service. And I'm saying this, by the way, to be descriptive and not prescriptive. I'm not saying we have to continue being this certain way. We could try meeting at a different time. We could try having more candles, more liturgy, more singing, no sermon. In fact, our multi-generational services are more like that. I encourage you all to come back next week for our multi-generational service. But I will say that in order to change something, or to understand why it feels really difficult to change things, it's helpful to understand the underlying structure, like what we're working with and what's there. So as a worship leader, I found that helpful to understand. So we come out of liberal Protestant Christianity in the United States. But we have become something more than a strange branch of American Congregationalism or a bunch of ex-Baptists who believe that Christ saves everyone. And that's why I think Unitarian and Universalist are important names, and it's important to say more. We are a very big tent theologically. As my colleague in ministry, Renwa Hamami, put it, Unitarian Universalism is a faith tradition with Judeo-Christian roots striving to evolve with multi-religious wings. As Reverend Sharon named for us a couple of weeks ago, we have a lot of diversity in this room in terms of what we believe. Some of us believe in God, some of us don't believe in God. Some of us believe in some mystery beyond the immediate material world, but we don't know what that is exactly. Some of us have faith in the evidence of our senses, an evidence-based religion, looking at the material world, looking at the potential in humanity. Some of us find Christian stories and symbols meaningful, and some of us find them painful, and some of us find them irrelevant. So we are a big tent, theologically. It's not a tent that I think the Puritans would ever have imagined. And we practice in a variety of ways, too. We, through prayer, meditation, casting spells, yoga, journaling. And so while we are coming out of liberal Protestant Christianity, we are different in that we are a place where we value being in community with that wide theological diversity. Our universalism has evolved from the idea of believing that Christ saves everyone to a belief that there is no one true way, no one path to God, no one path to enlightenment. And we come together in worship and in the rest of our congregational life to practice the idea that religious diversity has a value and that we don't have to agree theologically to build a community together. It was not actually a Unitarian who said, "We need not think alike to love alike." But that is a sentiment that has been seized on by a lot of Unitarian Universalists because I think it does so wonderfully capture what we're trying to do together. By the way, it was actually Methodist founder John Wesley who said that. But we love this phrase. It encapsulates what we're trying to do. Sometimes I tell people, well, Unitarian Universalism, we're an experiment in the idea that you can build a religious community based on shared values rather than shared beliefs and practices. We share the values of love and respect for one another. We value having open minds and open hearts. We value each person's having the right to follow their conscience in matters of morality, in matters of belief, in matters of politics. Even more fundamentally, we value each and every person. And we value the connections between people and filling those relationships with justice and equity and compassion. And we value the way all existence is connected. We value working for a world that is more free, more peaceful, more just. And we come together not to align our beliefs and our practices with each other, but to consider what is most important, to practice those deep values, and to, as we sing in our closing song, drink from the well, a well which quenches our thirst for justice, for joy, and a love that we're all a part of. To stretch the metaphor, which is my favorite thing to do, even if in our individual religious lives, some of us drink from a cup, some of us scoop water with our hands, some of us bring a bucket, we come together because we all thirst for the same things. A couple of years ago, I was talking with a teenager whose family had started coming to the church that I was serving at the time. She was 14, and she said, "I never know how to explain this church. I tell my friends, well, we sing and we meditate and there's a sermon and I tell them about it and they look at me and they say, that's a church." And it seemed to me that what she didn't say but felt was that her friends thought her church was weird, which is the kiss of death for 14-year-olds and not a few adults. Maybe that she worried that her church was weird. And of course, it's possible that I was projecting my own feelings onto her, my feelings of having grown up trying to explain you-know-what
to my friends.
And I preach this today, maybe it's a letter to her, it's a letter to myself, and to you and to your children. And I say to her and to you and to myself, yes, this is a church. This is a congregation. It's an association of congregations. And we're a liberal religious denomination. We come out of liberal Protestant Christianity in the United States. We're a faith tradition with Judeo-Christian roots, striving to evolve multi-religious wings. We're an experiment in the idea that you can build religious community based on shared values rather than shared beliefs or practices. We believe in the importance of open hearts and open minds. We're a well where we can quench our thirst for justice, for joy, and for a love that we're all a part of. We are a path, or at least we're a path, which is a place where our paths can come together and sustain our journey individually and as a community. May we live into that truth. Please join me in a brief moment for meditation.